Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Moltek Technologies Limited, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jenish Karia from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Karia.
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants on 3Q FY24 earnings conference call of Moltek Technologies Limited. From the management, we have on the call Mr. J. Lakshman Rao, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. N. Satyakeshu, the CFO. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Rao for his opening remarks, post which we shall open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, participants. Thank you, Jenish. We have announced the results of Q3 four days ago. That's last Friday. I'm glad to inform you that though the sales are flattish, we have created enough positive traction in the quarter, especially in building up resources that are required to handle diversified MES segments in future. Because there is good traction coming up from Tier 1 clients in MES, mainly in automotive, they are asking our services to be extended beyond VAW to move into, say, items like press tools, dies, wiring harnesses, and even in SPMs, special purpose machines. There were inquiries coming our way. So during the last six months, we started picking up senior personnel in this field and added them to showcase their abilities. And along with our company's strength, we are now in kind of completing some trial projects for some of the leading automotive companies in Europe mainly and Mexico. So these opportunities would result only maybe after a quarter or two, but certainly that will be the way to grow because we were all the time dependent on VAW, that is body-in-white designing and simulation. That is having kind of swings in terms of demand, goes up rapidly in a few quarters, and stagnates if there are projects are withheld. So that was again the same case this year too. First two quarters, there was a very good rush of projects. We have increased our MES by almost 60%. This quarter also, the number was stagnant, but growth has again stopped because one major project, I don't want to name our client, but it is a U.S.-based project, and the lab issues in the U.S. also has delayed the project implementation, and they in turn delayed the project execution from our end. That has resulted in, again, MES becoming flattish in this quarter, which has grown rapidly in the previous third quarter. So that is one of the main reasons for our flat performance in this quarter. However, the positive sign is we have added resources in fields of three segments, which will be under marketing efforts now. Our team is already traveling in Europe and in the U.S., and we are getting very good traction for trial projects. Once we complete them, there will be flow of revenues in these in a couple of quarters down the line. And another addition is business development managers are being recruited, not only in India. We have also shortlisted a couple of Americans in the USA who will be coming on board very soon. So these costs are reflected in the sudden spurt in the cost of employees by about 20%. Even on Q2, it is a jump of 13%. That main reason is there are, of course, increments given in the third quarter every year. Apart from that, these additional resources were taken in the various segments and in the business development has led to a spurt in the salaries and staff expenses, which has resulted in the drop in the profitability. So this is what the brief background. I'm sure there will be more we can discuss over the Q&A. Over to the operator for the Q&A, please.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Ankit Minocha from MRLR Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Hi. Good evening. My question is firstly with regard to the project that you had mentioned that has led to the lower growth this quarter. So if you could just help us with some more details, I mean, is this project expected to come back from next quarter, or is this something which is like a permanent loss?
No, that it was a major project from one of the leading automobile companies in USA, executed by a Mexican tier one contractor for the robotic simulation, a supply of robotics and the simulation. So that project has gone into hold during last weeks of November, December. And just now they are talking about reopening it. Probably it will open up in the middle of the second half of February, and then the work might start from March.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And secondly, on your employee costs, which have gone up to 63%, what would be your guidance for EBITDA margins starting for next quarter and the quarter after that?
See, it always happens like this. If you notice in the press note we have mentioned, we have added 173 new trainees this year, which is the highest in our last 10 years. We never took more than 70 to 80 trainees in a given year. This year we have taken 173 new trainees in both MES and civil together. Because in spite of, US is going through high inflation rate, which impacting the real estate and the construction industry in general. In spite of that, we could manage somewhere around 7 to 8% growth in the civil structural detailing. That's mainly because of our credentials are well established and clients are coming back with new projects wherever they get one. They are preferring Moltec to be their preferred vendor. So that way our civil, though it is not a great growth, which is somewhere around 10% now, in 7%, sorry, for 9 months or 9 months, it is a 7% growth on civil, which is our major contributor. And January started on a very positive note. We blocked more than $1.5 million worth of projects in terms of invoicing. It will be close to $2 million because we will be having at least 30 to 40% change orders and initial work whenever a project is awarded to us. So it was a good trend starting in January. That is also, again, not because the economic situation has changed in USA, but our credentials are improving and our clients are finding our work very satisfactory to them. And that's how the repeat orders are improving. Going forward, we see the civil can improve at 7% into at least 12 to 15% next year, given the traction what we are noticing now. But in MAS is where we have just lagged in this third quarter because of one major project got held up.
Right, sir. My question was also on regard to, our current EBITDA margins for quarter three are 26%.
Yes. Current quarterly, for 9 months, it is around 27%. For this particular quarter, it fell down to 26% from 30-31 last year. So I think maintaining a EBITDA margin in the region of 28 to 30 is possible going forward, because this kind of uncertainty in MES will not be there in the next year, because we will be adding at least 2 to 3 new segments where we have pulled in the previous con call that we are entering in, where we are now executing trial projects. Already senior people in these domains have joined us and they are able to execute the trial project successfully. And now our RFQ stage we have reached for some of these new segments. But the revenue addition, I won't see it happening immediately. At least from April quarter onwards, that's Q1 onwards, there will be additions coming from these new segments, which will strengthen the performance of MES considerably. And EBITDA margins, I would be glad we maintain somewhere around 28% to 30%, which is still possible.
Right. Thank you, sir. And my final question is with regard to the top line. I mean, in terms of the top line, how are the contract lengths? I mean, do we face any risk that the top line might, if there is some sort of a slowdown and contract lengths are not renewed, then do we take any risk that the top line might also decrease for this kind of business, or usually you expect sustained top line growth year on year?
See, we have achieved a 13% top line growth in the 9 months. So going forward, I'll be expecting similar growth in the Q4 also. But the next year onwards, we will be aiming at least 20 to 25% top line growth, given our better traction in civil and additional segments will be added in MES. But for this current year, I hope we'll be able to maintain the same level of growth of around 12 to 13%.
Right, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prathamesh Dahake from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
I'm audible.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Hi. So my first question is regarding this quarter. Across both MES and civil, what type of projects that we do? Was there a additional number of projects that we executed? And let's say we know the reason behind degrowth in MES. In civil, what was the driver behind increase in revenue? Was it the increase in AOV or increase in projects? My second question would be, in the upcoming year, we are expecting many new projects across both MES and CES. So what kind of projects would that be? What is the duration? What is the AOV around the same?
Yeah, in MES, the growth rate is flattened in this third quarter, because as I said, one project which was awarded in October or even September got held up and ultimately met, it will open towards the end of this month, February. So that has impacted the number, because what happens is it's like a chicken and egg game. When we are full with projects, obviously we can't take beyond our capacity. And when we are stuck with one project is held up, and thereby to go back and pick up another project is not easy. Because having said no to a couple of projects or one project at least, we said no, in fact, because of our capacity was full. And that project was already awarded to somebody else, like Tata's or some other onward, somebody took it. So then the client wouldn't come back to us. So that is why this quarter got stuck, and until now, in February only, and the client was always giving us an update. It will open up in a couple of weeks. So now, unfortunately, it got delayed till now. February 2nd half. Now, yesterday there was a message from them that it would be starting next week. So we are keeping our options open. But here now, what can happen is when we have more number of people available and our ability to execute some 7 rush or a drop in a couple of projects, we can go back and take those additional volumes. What that makes us a more better performer. Because last year only we have grown rapidly in numbers. Number of resources. Some of them are yet to have the ability to switch between projects. What happens? I'll give you an example. There is a software called Delmia. It is the simulation software. So guys who are experts in PS, they cannot handle Delmia projects within a week or 2 weeks. They need 3 to 4 months of training to get a command on this. So when we have taken people more in PS, and the projects in PS get held up, even if there is a Delmia project available, we will not be having good resources to handle this. And if we take up these projects and spoil the quality or delay the schedule, you will be definitely branded, bad. So that will have a long-term impact. So until we have resources who are capable of handling variety of this software, we would be having these ups and downs. But this year, we have purposefully added those software and resources to make ourselves ready for more number of products.
Okay, so then the 103 people added in civil and 73 in MES would be fully utilized in the upcoming year, that is FY25. Would that be fair to assume?
That is the strategy. Actually, these people who are added now are only in the trial level, are training into different software. As I said, Delmia and PS in case of simulation. Similarly, in case of design, there are other software. So what skill set we have is not uniformly available across the company. There's ups and downs.
So by when do you estimate that these people would be contributing towards our business, like they would be staffed on projects?
Sorry?
By what time would these people be contributing to business? I mean, they would be staffed. Currently, they are in training period, right?
Yes, the training is going on and they are now, almost most of them are multi-skilled now. So hopefully from April, May onwards, we'll see them able to handle the project. Not only in the field of same BAW, we also added people in wire harness design and wiring harnesses and press rules and dies. So those are the areas where the trial projects only are going on and the client will be testing your abilities. Even they are asking one or two boys to be, engineers to be kept in Europe on their site to coordinate. So we are in the process of getting their visas done. So this year is a kind of investment on these segments, which may start yielding results from first or second quarter of next financial year.
Okay, just last question. Could you please give us more detail regarding the upcoming projects across both civil and mechanical? What would be these projects and what is the average order value and duration of these projects that we are expecting?
In civil, the project size can be as small as $10,000-$15,000 to as big as $1.5 million. So depending upon the size of the project, and sometimes even a small project of 100K may go on for a year, depending upon how the construction company is moving in the fabrication direction. Sometimes a $500,000 project may be completed within 4-5 months. So it all depends upon the speed and the requirement of the end client and the general contractor. But typically, I would say 5 to 6 months is the average time for any civil project for complete invoicing. But still there will be rework corrections go on for another 3-4 months. In case of MES, the projects come in are generally 0.2 to 0.7 million, maximum 1 million. But these projects are time bound generally to be done within 3 to 5 months. So here also there will be little rework and addition work, but not as much as in a civil project. So this is a tricky situation. When you are little overloaded in MES especially, where we have a smaller team and less adaptability to different skill set, we will find that we are overloaded in spite of, in a situation, one project gets held, almost one third of the team becomes idle. And then to find a project in the same skill set might take a little longer than what we expect. So by having multiple skill set in the same domain, we'll be in a position to handle more, have more flexibility.
So are any of these engineers on contract or everybody would be on your payroll? I mean, what happens if we don't get projects? It will be a substantial cost to our P&L, right? These people?
See, the worst substantial cost could be what it happened in this Q3. It wouldn't be worse than that. Because generally, once we are well equipped with multi-skilled people, this percentage underutilization also will come down further. So what I see is this quarter can be taken as a benchmark for as far as underutilization is concerned.
Okay, understood. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Toshniwal from Premji. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are.
Yes, sir.
Sir, I want to understand two things. One, that the underperform the lower revenue in the quarter, would you ascribe it more because of the underutilization of employees because of the skill set gap, or do you think that it's the availability of the work or availability of the contracts that was something, or basically non-availability of client with the exact work proposition, that was the reason? And the second question is also the factor that if I look at the civil business, if you can throw some light, that are the nature of typical contracts, the short in terms of duration, you mentioned that it can range from a long period to short period, but typically are these 3-4 months to 3 month contracts? The reason I'm asking is that is it possible to build an order book and ensure ourselves from a situation when suddenly a client delays the work, that we don't get unattended or that our employees become idle to that extent?
I'll answer your second question. The order book is always built up both in MES and civil. In civil, because of our size, we have almost 700 plus employees and different teams of headed by about 14-15 project managers. That means each 30-40 members have one project manager who is having skills in few clients, let's say 5 or 6 clients. So, and any project comes from these 5 or 6 clients, they can easily adopt and produce it with the highest efficiency. When a new client is forced upon them, accepting and adopting their standards of construction would take few weeks, but it's not a rocket science because the same software is used. So that is why in civil, order book makes very good sense, and order book volume can be kept sizable. So today we have about 3.5-4 million order book for a monthly turnover of about 1.5 million. If I take too many, again we will be able to sustain a little bit of it for a month or two, but if you keep on adding it to 7, 8, 10 million, then the client will not wait for us to deliver the project after 3-4 months, because everybody has their own plans to start fabrication and erection. But civil is much better because there we can handle multiple projects. All the skill set is fully available across the 700-750 people. So in civil, we are comfortable building up the order book. When it comes to MES, the skill set of different software, PS and Delmia, NX, we have some people with some skill set, some people with other, because all these guys were added only during the last 1 year of sudden growth. So we have no choice. We can't wait for a person who is available with all three skill sets, and we need to retrain them either through internal training or on-project training, and that process is happening last year to some extent, but it's happening in a big way now. That is when we have invested on people. That's what you see in the sudden increase in the salary staff in this particular quarter. So this readiness will enable us to build up work on hand for MES also, which we are not able to handle. Because if we take too many and fail, we will be blacklisted forever. So we need to be very cautious while accepting a project in MES. Once this flexibility comes in, then we will be able to, you know, take much higher work on hand and safeguard our interest.
Okay, got it. And sir, one thing, if I may ask, what are the so total number of payroll or overall employees which we are having today as on date?
Today it will be more than 1,000. The employees who are on the technical side are around 1,050. In that, about 750 will be in civil. Close to 250 to 300 are mechanical. But in mechanical, we have almost 50% of them are trainees. They are just 1 year old or 1.5 year old now. So
they are on payroll only. I mean, when you say 1,050 number, it is included, it includes all the trainees also?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Got it. And one last thing, sir. I think on the overall management side, and more from a structural point of view, so till now we were running in a very, we were still small in terms of size, and we are gradually evolving to a larger size revenue business, etc. The focus on sales teams, a dedicated separate sales team itself, there is, so if I look at any TCS, Infosys, or any other mega IT company, they have a very dedicated hunting team and the farming team, conceptually. So for us, typically, the leadership of three to four people, five people, are basically managing the business to free their bandwidth, to segregate things. Any thoughts from your end? And I'm asking this in this context also, that it is not necessary to stick to a 28%-30% margin, if it comes at the cost of not being able to invest in the sales team. Rather, on the contrary, even if I know that I build a 15, 20, 30, 40-member sales team and take a 25% margin as my benchmark, then does it helps allow me to build a more sustainable growth business, something that can clock a 20% more consistently?
I understood your question. What you are meaning is, you can afford, we can afford to add more BD costs at the cost of reducing your EBITDA, but increase your top line faster by adding more.
The reason I'm saying, because obviously, sir, we have that privilege of doing a work which enables us to give so good economics. I mean, it is not easy to find these economics for a 200 crore top line business, but this business allows us that advantage. Only thing is that from a bandwidth point of view, so when I look at Prasad sir and Ramki sir, so both of them heading their own verticals are, and they might need more hands in order to ensure that the sales team become very dedicated. Their KRAs are linked to the, you can, as an organization, we can reach to more number of clients to ensure. And the whole point on the structure is that it might cost us today, but it will help us to reach that 20% growth in a more consistent way.
I understand your question. In fact, our thinking is now on the direction, because unless you have credentials in the field of engineering design and simulation, nobody will just give you because you have more sales calls and more number of people are on the street. So now in MES, we have created the credentials over the last 2 years. If you see the numbers 2-3 years ago, they were even $1 million or less than $1 million per annum. Now, last year it is $3.5 million, and I think we'll be closely coming to around 4+ or close to $4 million this year. So now the credentials are established. Even our team is now traveling in Europe, there's a very good response from our clients because there are projects to showcase. There are models of the EV cars to talk about, which we don't have 2 years ago. So unless your credentials are strong, sales calls will not help. But now our credentials are strong, and actually, while we are talking, a lot of sales people are being added in the organization. At least we are doubling our sales team from 5-6 to around 10 now. All are qualified with experience in MES, mainly MES and a little bit in civil. And that impact also will be coming from Q1 onwards, I hope. And as I've been telling in the last 6 months or maybe a year, we are in the search for a structural engineering firm acquisition. We have now decided to go with big boys in merger and acquisition activities, because we have tried through small boutique companies, not much of success. So now we have decided to go with little established names in M&A, and we are now in talks with a couple of them. If anything happens in the structural designing side, that will be at a very high cost, somewhere around $50-$80 per hour, even for offshore resources. And that kind of business will also give us direct contact with the general contractors, GCs and architectural firms, which in turn helps our detailing business also. But
no, I think
I don't want to talk about it until something concrete happens, but our eyes and our future plans are on that firmly.
Yeah. So, sir, just on the first one, I think in mechanical you said that we are investing in the sales team. Why not in the steel? Because in steel we are 6-10-year-old organization doing this. We have a lot of credentials already built in. So then it makes even more sense to use that sales vertical and spend that and build a stronger civil business. Because over there we have the opportunity, we have done the work, we have the credentials. Then just trying to get your perspective on how the business should operate.
No, both areas we are taking business development people. But more in mechanical, because the team is very small, only two people. So we want to make it at least a five-member team. And the current civil team of four people, we want to make it to seven.
Okay.
American front-end person. So
got it.
Actually, we've already taken a bigger office in Atlanta, moving into it sometime in March, April. and that will be able to house more than 10 people. Currently only 5-6 people are there, so we are taking a bigger office, and people will be joining there, and a couple of guys will be going from India. So we have decided to center now, because see, what we were doing in the last 5-6 years in MES, only a part of designing and concept design. Simulation we really started 1.5-2 years ago. So today we have a team of 20 strong simulation engineers who are training again another 20-30 people. The unfortunate thing in this field is there are not many resources available in India with the prior experience. You need to take few people, and from them you have to create the teams. That process is on now. So once that is on and multiple skill sets are created, that is when business development growth is required. So I think our timing is correct. Already your thought is being implemented here, and BD team will be strong by, let's say, as early as end of March, we'll be doubling our sales team, which will be able to make better utilization of the resources with the established credentials.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Toshniwal, I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue for follow-up questions, as there are several participants. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinay Nadkarni from Hathway Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just wanted to know the order book position for CES and MES as of the end of last quarter. Hello.
That,
sir? 3.2?
Yeah, it's 3.2 million for civil and less than 250,000, I think, for about 300K. About 250K for MES as on today, removing that held up project of almost 700K.
Okay. And secondly, on this new hiring that you have done, approximately what is the cost of the employee cost there?
See, 170 people, you can easily calculate even at the entry level cost of around 25,000, almost 45 lakhs per month is the initial cost. They all joined sometime in June, July, and training was going on from in the third quarter more actively. So July, August, I think they joined. So last 4 months, their cost of salaries to the tune of 45 lakhs per month were added. And in addition to these 173 trainees, we have taken at least 12 to 15 seniors whose cost will be something around 1.5 lakhs per month, with experience in different fields. So about 8 to 12 people, I think, we have taken. So that is another additional cost of about 15 lakhs per month. That is what has impacted the staff cost in this particular quarter. And even BD will be, one or two of them joined, and other 3 people are yet to join, most probably from March. So there will be employee cost growth consistently for next couple of quarters. And the revenue flow also will start, hopefully, from Q1 onwards.
Okay. The second question is on, in terms of your EBITDA percentages for CES and for MES, can you give us a rough idea what would be a CES average EBITDA and what would be the MES average EBITDA per project? Rough estimate.
More or less,
which project will be different?
When they are both are running at least 75 to 80% capacity utilization, the yields are similar. But if you want exactly the MES because of underutilization in this quarter, the EBITDA was much lower, like somewhere around 13-14% compared to 30% of civil in this third quarter. But for the entire year, if the capacity utilization is better, like in the case of Q2, they will be somewhere close.
Okay, so between the two, there is no EBITDA difference. So you are, as far as each project is concerned, it really doesn't matter whether it's CES or MES, will earn more or less the same EBITDA, is it?
Yeah, more or less same EBITDA, provided capacity utilization is equal. In civil, we are more strong because we have more than 200 clients.
Yeah.
Am I correct, sir? Yeah. We have more than 200 clients, so work would be keep coming from one company or other. Even if somebody is going slow, there will be somebody else who will be needing a project execution. But in case of mechanical, only 3 or 4 tier 1 contractors we have, and another 7 or 8 of them are tier 2. That means they themselves handle 100K, 50 to 150K kind of jobs. Tier 1 projects are typically 300 to 800K or even up to 1 million. So such bigger clients are only 3 in the case of mechanical, whereas in civil, such clients are at least 25 to 30, the bigger clients. So there the traction, there the expectation, or you know, predictability is very high compared to mechanical. Now with these new credentials and extra efforts in BD, we are also planning to have at least 10 strong clients in MES BAW field by this May, June.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhi Jain from AJ Associates. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
First of all, sir, thank you for the call. Your call helps us get more clarity around the business. I had one question that I wanted to understand. That since the last quarter update, where you had said that, you know, you expect the next 2 quarters for MES to be in line with what they had been in terms of revenue growth of 50-odd%, you were expecting FY24 to end at a top-line growth of about 20-25-odd%, given that your CES will grow at about 10% and MES grows at 50-odd%. But that has obviously changed because of this project being hung up. As an investor and a long-term shareholder, I just wanted to understand what is the steady-state business? Because if the business per se is very volatile in terms of, you know, getting the projects or delivering the projects or sometimes projects getting on hold, how do we understand what is a steady-state business for you? And how do you, you know, remove this volatility from the business so that it becomes, you know, you yourself are able to give us guidance or you are able to project that the business will be in this shape and form 2 years or 3 years down the line. Because that I think is missing, because suddenly there are spots which are high growth, then suddenly something happens and that crashes and then the guidance changes. So I'm not able to understand what is the steady state of business and how are you yourself seeing the business grow in the next 2 to 3 years. That I wanted to understand from you.
Yeah, I agree with you. We could not stand by what we have projected maybe a couple of quarters ago, because at that time we were flooded with work in MES and we expected similar trend will continue. That's why I predicted a growth of anywhere around 20-25%. But now I limit my guidance to around 10-13% would be the overall annual growth of the revenues for this year. Because given one major project in MES being on hold, the guidance is certainly is down, I admit that. But having said that, the credentials and increasing the traction in MES by adding more number of clients through, as I explained in my several, previous answers, we are adding multi-skilling, we are adding software which will cover all the gamut of tier 1 contractor needs instead of only 1 or 2 domains. We are now adding the Dalmia and other software domains and people are being trained on that. So this will enable us to accept and able to execute more number of variety of projects is the one. Additional people in different new segments like dies and wiring harness and press tools. This is another area of certainty addition we can see in future. So hopefully, I don't want to make a guess for next year, but certainly it will be not less than 10%, but it can be better than that, provided any of our plans, what I explained so far in terms of their skills and additional BD people and the new senior people who joined start turning into revenue stream, we could see the growth again going back towards 20%. So in this uncertainty, I don't want to make a projection for 2-3 years, but I can only say that a 10% minimum volume, revenue growth, top line growth is certain, because our civil side, I'm sure, given our better traction and better ability to execute the project, which is, and also civil being almost 70-75% of our revenues, that will certainly grow at around 10-15% given ordinary economic situation in US. But if the situation worsens, that could also come down a bit. But going forward, I hope at least the interest rates remain static or might come down. In that scenario, the construction industry will go in a much faster grow in a much faster pace, and obviously we'll stand to gain from that. And coming to MES, as I said, more software skills, wider skills, more domain we are entered, and then investing in these two quarters, this Q3 and Q4, should result in better, you know, predictable business growth in MES also.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Sam from Sam Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. So just wanted to hear your views on the acquisition we've planned in the architectural and structural segment so that we could expand the total addressable market, and it would also help us to get better order book in the civil segment. So just want to review on that.
Yeah, we have, as I said, we are looking for companies which are active in structural planning, preferably to start with in the East Coast. We have conversations with at least four of them. Either the promoters are retiring, which is one of the reasons why we rejected such proposals. Because this is a credential-based industry, nobody gives work to a new engineer starting his services. They all look at what have you done before. It's like chicken and egg. So we thought by acquiring a company, we will be having them working for us for at least a period of 3 to 5 years. But so far the proposals have come, they are all from retiring engineers. So we are now moving to better M&A firms who will be able to arrange or bring in proposals where the promoters of the current companies also work with us for a minimum period of 5 years. That is when, now currently one company we are in talks with, very initial stage, but certainly we will be able to find that, and we have now decided to put extra effort through high-end M&A firms who will be able to make the deals. And as I've been talking to you, it's our endeavor to strike a deal in this financial year, but I see that happening before March is not possible. But probably in this calendar year, at least, we will certainly try to take a step in that direction. Otherwise, we have an alternative plan B, but that will be again a slow process, like recruiting PEs. We already have two PEs, add another 3-4 PEs in USA, start taking up smaller projects, and build up the business traction. But that will be a long-term, for big numbers to add, it will take a couple of, or at least 3-4 years. So to cut short, that is the acquisition plan. So as of today, we have only one firm we are in touch with, which sounds like they have multiple PEs, and even if the senior person retires after a couple of years, we'll be having another 5-6 people left in the firm. So that firm is at a very initial phase as of today, but actively we are pursuing that. Seriously, we are hoping something will happen in this calendar year.
So my second question is, sir, on mostly the threat of artificial intelligence on some of the sectors in architecture in particular, where you're seeing programs such as DALL-E and Midjourney that are revolutionizing the designs of buildings and threatening the industry as a whole. So what do you think in the future AI may affect some of the work we do in civil, or you think we are kind of safe and away from that?
No, actually, it's a good question. In fact, I didn't disclose. We are already in touch with a couple of AI companies to see how AI and drones can be used in helping our fabrication and erection clients in terms of inspection, especially in the 18th floor or 30th floor, if the bolting or welding is done. Current quality control measures are not really effective. So drone-based and AI-based inspection, taking photographs or videos in situ and provide that comments with quality control to the fabricator or erector will be of immense help to our clients. So we are in talks with a couple of companies who are making drones, who are also in AI, and it's a very initial phase again. Only the promoters are in touch with us. Now the technical people are also talking to us, because for them also it's an opportunity, and we want to have such tie-up with, these are Indian companies I'm talking about. So we will be able to take them to US to the construction industry, make their introductions, and we can also play a role in facilitating our clients through these drones and AI technologies, which will help them in quality control. And coming to the detailing and these coming under AI, I doubt that, because at least for the next 5 to 10 years, I don't see the technology emerging. There's already a concept of API tools, which we ourselves are building up now to improve our efficiencies and quality checks by API tools, which are also some kind of AI. It is not directly AI related, but it is tool driven. But the tool has to be built up as per the standards of each and every client. So AI cannot be a solution unless everybody in the US follows same standards. The governing standards are for only safety concerns, but every fab company adopts its own standards. In that point, you want to add anything, Prasad? Different people like Shaft, they all have different standards. Nobody follows one single standard.
Oh, yeah. Every fabricator has their own systems and standards, and particularly on the AI domain, mainly they call VDC, the virtual construction teams. You know, those are the architectural firms and the VDC firms which are offering. We are in touch with them, you know, at a preliminary stage where we would like to provide, add those skill sets with our existing team in terms of, you know, applying the technology to our existing line of services.
Thank you, sir. That was very helpful.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, kindly limit your questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Proline Nanduf, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thank you for taking my question. My question is to understand a little bit about your civil detailing part. Now, what I understand within that is, you know, there is one sub-segment which is normal detailing, then which earns you certain dollars per hour, right, in terms of manpower. Then there is this whole connection detailing which we do, which is higher, which we earn higher dollar per hour. Then in the last quarter conference call, you also mentioned that you are getting into prefabrication, right? So wanted to understand, where does that stand in terms of dollar per hour? And given the fact that even if, let's say, the core industry, right, construction industry is not growing, since outsourcing to India is very small part of the overall industry, right, 5% if I'm not wrong. So given the fact that outsourcing is such a small part, why can't we grow at a substantial pace, I mean, at least 15-20% without even thinking about the industry growth, right? I mean, you know, given that, you know, there is surely a cost arbitrage between doing work in US and doing work in India, right? So can you help me understand as to how should one look at various sub-segments within the civil part in terms of their capability of earning revenue? And as we add more and more capabilities within the civil, I mean, you know, can the growth be higher because outsourcing and then us gaining market share should be a far more stronger force than the underlying industry growth?
Yeah, Mr. Nandu, the field of structural detailing is emerging now. And as India is becoming one of the credible sources for the American construction industry to try, actually, if you notice, for the last couple of years, there is no growth in construction industry in USA. And we grew more than 10% last year, and we are aiming to reach at least 9 to 10% growth in civils detailing this year also. So this growth is coming from more and more outsourcing being preferred by contractors and fabricators, because they are now experiencing that India and their engineers are capable of giving a good quality. So the point here is, when the industry is overall not doing well in US, we are able to grow about 10%. But if the industry also start picking up a pace of at least 5 to 7% there, we can easily reach the 15 to 20% bracket. That is one. Second, a reason why we can't simply grow double or triple our team is quality suffers. There's a huge backcharging concept in civil. In fact, if you go through our history, when we started the high-rise buildings construction detailing in the year 2010 to 11 onwards, in the first 5-6 years, we suffered a lot of back charges to the tune of about $300,000 to $500,000 a year. So currently it is on below 100K or maybe below 50K. So that is a kind of quality and command our team has now achieved. And this is when we can really pitch in for bigger projects and try for 15 to 20% growth, as you correctly said. This is a kind of industry where the cost of detailing, which is hardly 1 to 2% of the overall project, they don't mind spending more money for quality's sake and timeliness. So they are very, very slow in subcontracting more and more work outside the US because they feel a local presence, a local engineer understands the standards better than an engineer in Asia or in some other Middle East or somewhere. So their credentials, they don't risk to save the money for the cost of the project itself. But with our credentials being now well established, we are also now aiming with more number of trainees to cope up, and our training systems have also become very solid in civil especially. We have a strong team, and APA tools also have been developed which will automize some part of the detailing for better productivity. So with these tools, yes, as you correctly said, we will be aiming at 15 to 20% growth rate. Then comes the catch of establishing and developing number of engineers. Your ability to teach the American standards and pick them up to the pace of quality is very challenging. And most of the guys in the engineering sector now want to work in IT or in AI and these domains. So finding good quality engineers and trying them to come up to the standards of American construction industry, which is still following a FPS system, that is feet, pound, second, compared to our metric system. That itself is a major learning. British system they still follow in the American construction industry alone. So that is the kind of challenge. But we are now all set for better growth. Once the US construction industry also turns around, aiming at 15 to 20% is possible.
Sure. And sorry, just that the additional question on, you know, within civil, we had detailing, we had that connector design and then prefabrication. So are we also, in by adding all these, adding more and more capabilities, increasing the target market, and all these will come at an incremental revenue per employee or margin?
Yes, certainly. Connection design is a much higher margin. We operate connection design in the field of $30 to $40 to $50 an hour. If we go into member design, that is called structural design, where we are trying through an acquisition, you can even, of course, it is $120 to $200. At least $50 to $80 pricing we can achieve. But as I said last time, there's a professional is required. Here we are looking for an acquisition to help us. Once that happens, our numbers will go much better at EBITDA level also.
Great. Thanks a lot for the answers and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ganesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So recently I saw a China crisis. There was a slump in sales for the project which are mentioning in China. So how does that will affect your company?
No, we have nothing to do with Chinese market, neither in yes nor civil.
So
any impact,
I
in
mean,
Chinese?
So the geography will affect. So India will also have an impact on this. So I just want to understand what will be. Is there any impact on for the Moltec company?
No, their activities, because Chinese are not neither active in using the American standards, nor they are doing any outsourcing work in a big way. In fact, nobody in structural detailing I know is doing any outsourcing to China in a big way. Even countries like Kuala Lumpur, KL, that is the Malaysia, and Philippines are more active in retailing than China. So China as such has no or any meaningful impact.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirvana Laha, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So on the acquisition side, can you once again help us understand how exactly the business profile on the civil side will change once we make the acquisition? And by that, I mean currently the work that you're doing, what will you add in terms of capability? And therefore, what will the billing rates become? You already touched upon it, but in some more detail, and what kind of EBITDA can we earn, therefore, from that acquisition? And one more question was, once we acquire, do you think that Indian hires, because you're already highlighting challenges with training them up to a level for connection design, so if we get into more advanced work, will we have the labor cost arbitrage, or will we need to hire more from USA?
Yeah, what I'll explain to you the construction industry strata by strata. General is the highest authority, followed by general contractor who executes the project. And he appoints an architecture, engineer, EOR, that engineer on record, and a structural engineering firm. Sometimes architects also design in tandem with the structural engineering firm. Together they offer the services to GEs. Okay? So, then these VCs find out a fabricator who makes the steel, because all construction in US is steel other than the foundation. From foundation it's all, until foundation is concrete, from then it is steel. So the entire steel is fabricated in fab shops and erected in the site using cranes, welding, bolting and everything. So we are at the bottommost layer of detailing for the fabricator. So we deal with the fabricator. Fabricator in turn deals with a structural engineer. A structural engineer and architect together deal with the GC. Very rarely we get to talk to GCs, because architects and structural engineers clarify all our RFI requests for information. So we are in touch with structural engineers and architects to some extent, but a fabricator arranges all these clarifications. So sometimes majority of the deals we end up with the fabricator, who is number two in the from the bottom of the ladder. So the number three layer is structural engineering. That is where the member design, the real safety of the building is assured and tested by various structural engineering methods that are available. So that is a very high value and highly respected next to the general contractor. We can never be a general contractor unless we start building up buildings in US. That is not our goal. But we can be an architectural firm, we can be a structural engineering firm, or we can have a front-ending architectural firm as our partner and build up the Indian resources for cost arbitrage. Coming to the cost arbitrage, it will be much higher cost arbitrage for us to get into architectural and structural engineering rather than detailing. Because as it is at the bottom of the construction pyramid, the cost and cost arbitrage also are lesser than structural engineering. If you go to structural engineering, the pricing can be $120 to $200 per hour for a structural engineering work, which can easily be outsourced to India at even to $58 to $80 with much higher EBITDA, because our structural engineering will not cost us more than 30-40% than our resource of detailing. What you need is MTEC structures instead of VTEC structures. So if a VTEC structures guy joins at 25,000, an MTEC structures guy is available at 35,000-40,000 rupees. So that delta is very nominal, but what pricing we can get is almost, if not double, 50 to 60, 70% more. So the cost arbitrage, EBITDA margins will shoot up once we establish in the structural engineering domain. That is why we are actually looking at that acquisition. Because our name is now known in the construction industry, and by adding the front-ending of an American firm together with Maltech, there will be a respect from GCs to outsource that work to us. And catching up these MTech candidates here and training them up, as you said, is also a challenge. But already we are doing in the connection design front with MTech structural engineers, a team of 15-20 people are already there. So they can easily catch up on the member design, given some training.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for all the participants to actively participate in our quarterly review, our quarterly results. And I also thank Antic, especially Mr. Dinesh for his time and arranging this call. And thanks to operator for coordinating the entire proceedings. And I wish you all a very happy Valentine's Day and also great evening today. Good day. Bye.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Antique Stockbroking, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.